It's amazing what God has given us through his grace. It's amazing. Look at verse number 6. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. How many of you know right now you're sitting in a building in Sisseton, South Dakota? So what in the world is he talking about when he raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places? Here's the deal. When Christ rose from the dead, and in John chapter 1, he says, I am he who was alive and dead, and I have the keys of death and hell. In other words, he had the authority over every evil power, including the devil. Regardless what some religions say, Jesus and Satan aren't brothers, okay? Satan's a created being. Jesus has lived forever, eternally. When it comes now that he raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places, he has exalted us with himself and elevated us to a place that's above all the spiritual forces in the world. Therefore, we cannot say the devil made me do it. Like Flip Wilson used to say when I was a kid. I was a kid at one time. You have been raised up. You are over, through Christ, not through yourself, through Christ, over all the powers of the enemy. He's no match for Christ in you, right? He's no match. So we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, we're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. We talked about this on Wednesday night. Why are we mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds? Because we're above them.
That's right.
We're above them spiritually. We have charge over them spiritually. They're not a weakness to us. They're not something that attacks us and can take us down. We are elevated with Christ. We're exalted with Christ above them. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that we have authority through Christ. And we have the power of attorney to act in his name. What does that mean? If you give somebody the power of attorney, you have a right to do their business dealings for them. And so we have the power of attorney to act in the name of Jesus. We have the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus to defeat everything that Satan is doing. So don't hide. You ever feel like something's threatening you? Do you ever feel that there's an oppression, there's a bondage, there's something coming against you? Stand against it. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and stand in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. That's how we do it. That's how we live. That's how we function. That's where we're headed for. Verse number 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay, look at me. God's grace is an empowering presence of the Holy Spirit that enables you to be what he's called you to be and accomplish what he's called you to accomplish. It deals with our sin, but that's not the only thing it does. It brings us into a relationship with God, but that's not the only thing it does. It makes us powerful and strong in the Lord, but that's not the only thing it does. How many remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? How many of you have ever felt weak spiritually? So Paul's going through the thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says he prayed three times it would leave him. And what was God's answer? God's answer was, wait a minute, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, therefore I will glorify in my infirmities, because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What's he telling us? He's telling us that grace brings us into a relationship with God through faith. We're redeemed by the power of his grace, his mercy, his love. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. We are born again. And then grace comes to a place where it takes hold of our lives. And even in the moments when we feel the weakest, even in the moments that we don't feel like God is listening, or our prayers are bouncing off the ceiling, or things are going wrong, or our children are not living the way we want them to, and we're looking at things, or we're going through some physical maladies, and we're walking this life out, God is saying, my grace is sufficient. You will never find something too big for the grace of God. You can look at God, and when my folks were killed, I was upset. Forgive me, I was upset. I dropped out of college for a while studying to be a pastor, and I walked away, and I just thought, God, how does this happen? But you know something? God was still there. And his grace was still there. And so I had this job offer where I thought I could make a lot of money. And so I went home and told Judy about it. And she says, you're not doing that. You're called to be a pastor. I said, really? I can't even make my own decision? And so we need to understand that when we are facing a crisis, and you know something? In God, you really don't face a crisis, because God's already been through it. How many of you ever thought you were facing a crisis? How many thought everything was falling apart? How many thought you needed help? The thing about it is, God's been there before you got there. And if you allow him to, he'll take you through that supposed crisis, that supposed tragedy, the things that we're looking at, and he'll walk through it with you, because he knows how to do it. You know, I thank God I didn't have anyone in Las Vegas a week ago. And this is going to sound callous, but it's not callous at all. But I know if I would have had, God would have been with him. And God's grace would have either taken him home or left him. The believers that died there are with the Lord. And it is very sad. I wrote that. It's so sad where our nation has turned and what we've become. But also realize that for many years our nation has been turning against God. And I personally believe, and you don't have to believe this, this is my opinion, okay? I believe when America decided we can go out without God, God said, okay, try. When America comes back to God, the shelter will be back over our country. The safety will be back over. The safety net of the Holy Spirit will be here.
That's right.
But we have to learn. Understand, God loved Israel, but Israel had to learn. Right?
Yes.
They had to learn. It wasn't through the idols. One of the most ridiculous things I've seen is that Israel invaded this country, and the king they invaded had an idol. Now that idol didn't let them beat Israel. Israel won that battle, but they stole the king's idol and became their god. How's that work? You know, and America needs to come back. America needs to come back to the grace of God. And coming back to the grace of God, America will be joyful again.
That's right.
America, I believe, will be protected again. Doesn't mean people won't try to destroy us. It'll mean that they'll be stopped. So God's grace brings us into a relationship with Him that nothing else can. In that grace is manifested His love, or His love is manifested by the grace, whichever way you want to do it. But I want to close with this. Turn with me to Titus. Chapter 2. How many knows that the grace of God teaches us? Paul writes, for the grace of God, in verse 11, chapter 2, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, say teaching. Teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The grace of God is teaching us how to live godly. The grace of God is not given to us so that we can live in sin. It's giving us so we can walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not an entitlement to sin. It's an empowerment to live holy. Whenever we face the temptation to sin, we need to come to God and say, God, your grace is sufficient to get me through this. Holy Spirit, I'm not walking in that avenue. I'm not walking in that path. I'm not going that direction. I'm following Jesus Christ. This is the day. And you may look at me and say, well, Pastor, where you been? This is the day in all the things happening in the world and this nation, people need to see Christians who are walking in the Bible.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Living according to God's word. Walking and overcoming all the temptations of the enemy. If they don't see that, they'll see a distorted picture of Christianity. I'm not standing up here saying you sin once, you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to learn how to be overcomers. We need to learn how to walk in the grace of God. If I'm a Christian on Sunday morning, I need to be a Christian on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I need to walk after God. I need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I need to allow the grace of God to bring about in my life a resistance to everything Satan wants me to do. And you know something? It's possible. It's very possible. God is a God of holiness. God is a God who died so that we can be freed from the bondage of the enemy. Why go back? Why go back? There's nothing out there for me. And you as a believer and a child of God, there's nothing in this world that is worth going to hell over. We took many, many people to Acapulco where we did orphanage ministry with Richard Affeld. And every time we went, somebody would come and want to sell us a girl or sell us this or sell us that. Every time I took somebody there, I'd say, there's nothing worth in Acapulco going to hell over. There's nothing worth here getting a disease over. There's nothing worth here sacrificing your life for something that means nothing. James Elliott, a man who died in Ecuador with one of five missionaries, made a statement that I keep in my mind all the time. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. You are secure in Christ. Walk in that security. Don't open the door for the devil. Don't give him a chance to tear you down. Because what he wants to do, he wants to put you back in bondage. I was in bondage. Lost scholarships to play college football and other things. And then in a 5-minute encounter with Christ in Fort Francis, Ontario, I rededicated my life to Christ and was changed in a moment. That's what life is. Life is the grace of God encountering a person with the right perspective of Jesus Christ and making a change. Jesus comes to give you the power to be an overcomer, to give you the power to be a victor, not a victim, to lead your life. It's the greatest life you'll ever have. It's the best. I sat last night here and was thinking about all this. And realizing that without God, His grace, His mercy, without His love, without being made a new creation, life isn't much at all, is it? There's nothing better than looking in somebody's eyes when they receive Jesus Christ, or helping someone in need, or reaching out with compassion when somebody's hurting.